Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Britta.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Whoa. Something's not right here. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Somehow our spouses got onto the microphones.
I know. They got a hold of the mics.
We're taking over
the podcast today.
This is dangerous and alarming.
No, you are our guest today. You are not taking over the podcast.
Damn it.
Yeah, we're very excited to welcome Britta, Mike's wife, and Greg, my husband, for our... I was trying to think how to announce this topic even.
It's actually not that exciting of a topic. We're just going to review our expenses for the first half of 2021.
I mean, I think that's a super exciting topic.
I feel like after over 100 episodes and not having our spouses on, we picked an underwhelming topic for them to join us on.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to have us on and surprise us and say that you decided to splurge on like a big vacation for us or something.
Like a thank you for supporting us.
I like that idea, Greg.
We're actually going to be talking about how we are not splurging on anything.
Yeah, we're going to specifically talk about how little Mike and Britta splurge compared to Maggie and Greg tonight.
And you will have to help us by defining splurge.
Right.
I think that sounds very exciting, though. We're spending less than you guys. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, as we like to say, it's not a competition.
But it kind of is.
Yeah. It's not a competition, but we're winning.
We like to win.
In all seriousness, though that was serious because we do all like to win, we really wanted to do this mid-year expense review because we talk a lot about how important it is to be open and transparent with your finances and also to compare, like in a friendly way, to compare and talk to your friends about what they're spending on certain things. We did that on our vacation episode, Mike, even, because you can learn so much from hearing what other people are spending on things. And we talk about this all the time, but you know, friends and family and others will talk about so many topics, but they won't talk about money often. And there's so much value to be gained by talking to your friends about money. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
And I just remembered, Maggie, one of the stories that you like to tell on this show, but also in interviews, where when we first met, you came back from the office and you would be talking to Greg and you were like, well, Mike was looking at our expenses and he really recommends that you do X, Y, and Z. And Greg would be like, that sounds great. Who's Mike? And now we actually get to review expenses together, Greg.
Yeah, I've come a long way because I really did. At first, there, you know, Maggie would come home and she would just say, well, Mike thinks you're really spending way too much on this. And I was like, well, okay, A, who is Mike? I mean, and B, why does he think I'm spending too much on this?
I
was pretty defensive at first.
I can't believe you weren't like, and C, why is he looking at our finances? How does he know how much I'm spending on my cell phone bill?
But I will say I've come a long way and it's really helped me develop some better spending habits and kind of, you know, a little self-reflection on what I do spend money on.
And I can see it in the numbers, Greg.
Yeah, you won him over when you kept asking about his cell phone bill and he finally was like, okay, well, what could he do for me that's better? And then you like sent him a plan and he was like, wait a minute, I can get the exact same plan for like $75 less a month. And he was forever a Mike can look and give feedback on my expenses fan after that.
All right. Yep. So the purpose of tracking expenses, as we've discussed really very frequently on the show, is that it's important to understand how much it costs your family to live and to live in a satisfactory lifestyle and know how much that fluctuates year to year. And you need to know this because for retirement calculations, it's not about how much you earn. It's about how much you spend. How much you need is how much you spend on your lifestyle. And so any long-term or really short-term financial planning is going to revolve around your understanding of your expenses.
And Mike, one of the best ways, like we were just talking about with, you know, the Greg cell phone example, one of the best ways to actually improve your spending is to track it, review it, and then thoughtfully discuss it with your partner or with your friends and family, you know, or an accountability partner, you know, all sorts of people. In one of our very early episodes, episode 15, we talk about expense tracking in general, and we share an expense tracking template that we'll put in the show notes to help get you started if you just have never done expense tracking before. But I think it'd be helpful, Mike, for us to talk like a little bit before we get into our expenses. Let's just talk about how we each track our expenses, because we take different approaches, and I think it's helpful for people to hear what those approaches are for our individual families. Why don't you go first?
Sure. So as you can imagine, my method is very disciplined and meticulous. And I started doing this in 2014, where we save every receipt and every digital receipt for that matter, for every expense that we have. And I will collect them. I was collecting them physically and keeping them in manila envelopes for a while. But then I have an Excel spreadsheet and I type these in manually. And it's a bit onerous, although I enjoy it. But the purpose is that it really connects me with every single expense. And so I can remember costs going back multiple years down to the dollar because I took the time to enter them in. And actually our method for this has changed recently, thanks to you, Maggie, because we upgraded our system to Evernote. And so I was keeping all these physical receipts. And now instead of Britta taking receipts out of her purse and putting them in a drawer, and then I take them and put them in a manila envelope, Britta will take a picture of them using the Evernote app. It saves it to the cloud, and then I pull them down once a month and update our expense tracker. So we become very efficient thanks to you, Maggie.
I like it. All I heard was manila envelope and onerous. And then I heard something about Evernote.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, I was just joking about the manila envelope process. Okay.
Did I say, what? Oh, because you don't like manila envelopes?
No, you just talked about how you save your receipts in a manila envelope and that it's like a very onerous process. I know. And now you're using
it. I like that system because now I have more work to do. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did put some of this responsibility back on Britta.
So then it was kind of fun to like stuff your receipts in that envelope.
Yeah.
And then Mike would come and be like, Britta. And I was like, yeah.
What's so funny about like the difference in our systems is that like you guys can actually collect receipts. Greg will purchase something. I feel like, do you know what I'm about to say? Mm-hmm. We'll be somewhere where he's at the cash register paying and I won't get to see the total for whatever reason. Like we're getting the kids ice cream or something. And I'll go, how much was that? And he looks at me like he just has no idea. Like why would it matter? And would he know? And I'm just like, well, I just want to know how much it was. I just in my head like to like, you know, register these things of like, what's it cost for us to go get ice cream these days? And
I've got very limited capacity in my brain. So I just don't want to waste it on anything. So, you know, I just filter out a lot of the extraneous details in life.
Just have them give you a receipt. And then in the future, just hand that to Maggie and be like,
yeah, you don't even have to speak to me. Yeah. You just hand me the receipt.
Yeah. I always say, no receipt. And then I just, you know, blank on what I just spent.
They could charge him anything. He'd have no idea. Okay. So I used a.
So your expense tracker isn't accurate.
No. I'm about to tell you our system because it's not Greg paying attention to anything or collecting receipts. So I did do a manual method like you're doing. Well, it's a version of like a digital collection and then manually kind of keeping in an Excel sheet like you do, Mike and Britta. Early on, like when we first met, Mike, was the first time I really started tracking expenses. So like about 2 years ago or maybe a little bit longer. And I did it for a while, very manually, and I enjoyed it. And it was illuminating in terms of just, you know, making me more aware of some spend areas that I just wasn't catching and wasn't aware of. Like the cost of your cell phone is an example. But it did get cumbersome and I kind of like lost my fire on that piece. And so we got to a better method for us this year where we basically like, so 99% of anything we spend money on is on it. We put it on a credit card to get some sort of points and miles. And so we have all of that hooked up to Mint, which is I like owned by Intuit now, right? But we have all of our credit cards, all of our bank accounts, even like Venmo, PayPal, anything I make through that, it's all hooked up to Mint. So it all gets digitally tracked through Mint. And then we go in, and actually Greg does most of this, where he recategorizes and like cleans it up. So it'll come in through Mint. Sometimes it'll be like, you know, I paid for dinner for a friend and they paid me back. And so he'll adjust the amount to just what was my portion minus someone reimbursing me. And then he'll clean up the categories and just kind of like make sure that it's accurate coming in, or he'll put it like, don't, if it was like a rental business expense, he'll put like, don't track. Cause we really only use that for our personal expenses. And so we do that, and then we quit doing the monthly review, which I recently admitted to you on a show, Mike, and you looked very disappointed in me.
Very disappointed.
It was sad, sad moment. I shed a tear. I felt like I just let you down.
The monthly review is still on our calendar. We just don't do it.
Yeah. Nobody shows up to the monthly review, but we do have a recurring calendar invite. So if that makes you feel any better, it's the thought
that counts.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that really applies to expense tracking, but
it doesn't.
Well, let's move on.
So we fell off the wagon a little bit on doing it monthly, but we continued to like keep stuff well tracked in Mint. And so my intent was always to do it like quarterly or twice a year. And so just this past weekend, we sat down for like a few hours and we did some final cleanup. We took a full Excel data dump out of Mint, which takes like 2 seconds to do. I cleaned up the categories a little bit more, and I had a view of our biannual spending, right? So our half a year, so January to June. And that's what we're doing now. And it works for us. And we have a good sense just from that. We get a lot of value in reviewing it, which we'll talk about, but we're just not doing it on a monthly basis.
Well, I'll add a couple other points too. I think, you know, one downside of Mint, I guess you could say, is the fact that Mint now has all of our data, but again, who doesn't have all of our data already anyway? But I think what Mint does is it saves you from having to do quite as much manual entry. But just like you were saying, Mike, I mean, I go through every single expense that hits Mint and categorize it and make notes of, you know, if it was just an Amazon order. So I do get a lot of that kind of detailed review that you were talking about, which really is helpful. But what's kind of nice about it too is you can do it from your phone. So once a week I can be sitting in front of the TV and kind of in the, you know, also multitasking and kind of updating my expenses. And then even though we won't do a full detailed review, you know, every month, we can go in mid-month and quickly say, oh, how much have we spent on restaurants or groceries, which tend to be our areas that can get out of hand if we're not carefully watching it. So that is really neat, because then, you know, 2 weeks in, we can either say, oh, wow, we're doing okay on our restaurant budget, or we can say, oh, wow, we're already, you know, close to it, and let's make sure we eat at home. And it really does help change our behavior
kind of mid-month in real time.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. So even though we did the big dump one, you know, in the middle of the year, we do sometimes we literally legitimately will be like, oh, we feel like eating out. And then we're like, oh, let's see how much we spent this month. And depending on, you know, how good or bad that's looking, we'll make a decision. Usually we always just say yes in the end, though.
I think we're pretty disciplined.
I'm just kidding. You can hear we both do this very differently in our families. And it's a great example of like, you know, the phrase, it's personal finance, right? Everybody does it differently. It's personal to you. So do what works for you. We don't care so much how you do it. You may not care if we care anyways, but we're just saying what's important to us is that we think there's a lot of value in tracking your family's expenses. We less care how you do it, whether you use Mint, whether you do it in Excel, whether you do like a hybrid version like we do. Some people are in love with apps like YNAB, which is You Need a Budget. And there's a bunch of other apps that help you do this too. There's free approaches. There's, you know, small fee apps. It doesn't really matter. The point is there's a lot of value in doing it. And we highly recommend that you do take the time, however you choose your method to be and whatever works for you.
And I totally agree with that. And, you know, for a lot of people, it is a struggle to make a dramatic change in their behavior and start down a different financial path. But I do want to call out one thing, Maggie. And this is something you love to reference seemingly on every episode, is your privilege. And so you are in a position where you and Greg are pretty frugal. You have a lot of money already. You have pretty good amount of income. And so if you don't track your expenses or you don't meet every single month to discuss it, it's not going to make a real material impact in your life. But what I want to caveat to everybody is that you get what you put into this process. And so it's like exercise. Like if you've never exercised before, you should just start. Anything you do to start is going to help you. However, if you want to train for the Olympics, you better be training every single day. And so the same thing applies to expense tracking and kind of what I described as the more onerous type process. If you really want to retire very early, or you want to make a dramatic shift or a rapid shift in your personal financial situation, you got to get really close to these details. You got to be looking at this stuff every single day, down to the penny. You got to be reviewing it and understanding exactly where all your money is going. Otherwise, you might start to slip, or you might not get to your objective as quickly as possible.
Yeah, great point. So let's talk about some context, right? Before we're going to dig into the numbers in a minute.
Oh, you love context.
I like context. You guys know I like context. So I just give you a couple of like fine print things, just so, because we're about to share our numbers in significant detail. And we hope that's interesting and helpful, again, just to compare your expenses to other families. So a couple of things. We're just talking about our expenses. We're not talking about any income or our savings rate. So this is just like, what does it cost our families of four and five to live for a half a year, which you can generally multiply times two and get to like what it on average costs us to live for a full year. Greg and I have separate accounts. So if you're, what you say, like separate finances, which we've talked about before, and we've done a show and kind of comparing the benefits of both sides. But I think the important point to make here is, even though we have separate accounts and what many people would call quote separate finances, we 100% handle our finances together. So we track everything together. We have different like credit cards and bank accounts and everything in our individual names, 401ks, all that stuff. Well, I guess everybody has their own 401k, but anyways, we track all that stuff together in Mint. We review everything together. We have full transparency and communication. And I think that's an important point. If you are in a relationship where you do have separate finances and you think, well, how can I do this? Right. You can still do all this stuff together and have, you know, what people call quote separate finances.
Yeah. And actually that's a pretty good point. I want to highlight the other side of that situation. If you are only meticulously tracking one half of your family's expenses, that really doesn't give you much value. And so if you are not at a point where you and your partner can have these discussions and feel comfortable sharing this information and reviewing it together, the first step is not to start tracking your expenses. First step is to talk with your partner and try to get them on board with this process.
Yeah.
We're also, as we discussed multiple times, Maggie and I both own rental properties. And so we are not including any of those expenses because those are associated with a business and not relevant to our lifestyle expenses. We've also paid off our mortgages. So for most people, mortgage is going to be the number one expense in your family. We, both our households, do not have that. And so these numbers are going to seem a little bit different, but it's just because we've taken out that very large expense.
Yeah. And there was a time when those were our largest numbers because we were, you know, very, very aggressively paying off our mortgages.
That's right.
And then the last thing is, as we've talked about, a bit on this show, myself, Maggie and Greg, we are both divorced and this is our second marriage. And so we both have child support incoming and outgoing, and we're not including that just for privacy reasons. And it's also not a controllable expense for us. So for anyone who's curious about that, it's not included in the numbers that we'll share today. It's just the controllable living expenses.
All right. So how are we going to run through these expenses, Maggie?
I think why don't you guys go first, give your totals, kind of, you know, we don't need to list out every single category, list the top handful of kind of, you know, interesting categories, and then go through like, you know, what you feel like is working well and went well in your first half expenses, and then what you want to focus on could be even better that you want to improve. So it's like, what's working well? What could be even better if?
Okay. So our total first half expenses were $32,387,000. Now, our largest expense by far was what we call daycare. So we had pre-K for our youngest daughter. We had a remote learning setup at the same preschool for our older daughter when public school was remote. And then we also had camp, and all of that we are rolling into this daycare expense. And that was $14,000. So that represents 43% of our total expenses for the first half of the year. Now, luckily, all of this is going away because camp payments are over. Both kids are going to be in public school in person. And so our expenses are going to drop dramatically starting right now.
That is fascinating. What's kind of interesting is I've had a preview to this, Mike, but Greg seeing it for the first time, and we were on mute, and he's like in my ear, and he's like, wow. Like, he's impressed. I've always been in awe at how low your expenses are, but the fact that they're how low they are when you pull out daycare, which again is a similar to, I'm not put it in the same category as child support, but it's hard to control that expense, right? Like, certainly there are some things you could do, but that's one that's like, when you have kids under a certain age, like, and you have jobs, like, they need to go somewhere during the day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And it's really kind of it's uncontrollable from the standpoint of, once you have selected a lifestyle that you want, like if you want two working spouses, you cannot avoid this cost.
Well, and that's one of those things too, where I don't think you want to skimp too much anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what's after daycare? So yeah, 14 grand on daycare.
Yeah, after daycare, things drop off pretty dramatically. So we have our second highest is going to be groceries at 3370 for the first half. And this also includes some higher grocery bills when we were traveling in Colorado, because we had kitchens and we were making a lot of our own food, but buying a little bit more than we normally would.
Plus, also, we had to shop at grocery stores that are usually not grocery stores that we're going to.
Have an Aldi? Yeah. We already discussed that on a recent episode, which was funny. I was like, do they have an Aldi in Colorado?
After that, I have this other category, which has just become a catch-all for all kinds of stuff. So it was activities while we were traveling. It's our cat vet bills. It's some of our other kind of just like service related expenses that might not be associated with the house. For instance, we just group these into other. And so that is 3227, followed by utilities at 2461.
To be clear, you're saying like 2461, $2,461.
Yes, that's right. Yes, thank you. $2,461 for utilities. And I include our internet. I include our home security as utilities. I think everybody has kind of a different definition of it, but it also includes power, gas, water, those sorts of utilities. And then next one up is going to be travel. Even though we did do 2 weeks in Colorado, which we discussed on a previous episode, all those costs, this for the first half of the year is only $2,189, because we use a lot of points for basically everything. And travel is going to be car rental, hotel, and airfare. Activities and food and all that stuff that happens during the travel, we put into their respective categories.
That's an interesting difference, Mike. We made a very thoughtful decision this year to start tracking all of those activities and things like as part of travel, because we would not have done them if we were at home. But it doesn't, that's a thing where I would argue it doesn't really matter. Like, as long as you feel good and you understand where your money's going and how you categorize it, like, I wouldn't worry too much about the granularity of you guys categorize things a little bit differently than we do.
And then after that, it just, everything is kind of trickling down to basically nothing. Now, I do want to call out for comparison, when you guys start your expenses for clothing, we have spent $307. Not going to give anything away because I've seen your numbers, but I do want to ask you about it.
Well, I thought you were going to call out dining, because your eating out budget is only $1,154. And that includes eating out while you're traveling, right?
That's right.
That is an insanely, or I should say, it's an impressively low number. I'm not quite sure how you do it.
How often do you guys eat out?
Not much. And actually, I think it's mostly like pizza and Chinese delivery.
Right. I'm not sure I remember the last time actually we ate out.
In Atlanta.
Yes. I do have one restaurant I want to take Mike to, and I don't know why we keep postponing it. I don't know. Feel like going out.
What is it? I'm just curious.
Oh, there's NFA Burger, one of the best burger places apparently in the United States.
I've never heard of it. Where is it?
It is in Dunwoody Village. It's actually inside a gas station. Very random, but
the best burger place in the U.S. is inside a gas station in Dunwoody. I love it.
Apparently, according to the ratings, reviews, whatever. We'll take you guys, but you're paying.
That's how you keep it so low. You convince other people to take you out to dinner.
And I'd add the dining category. I think we actually splurged a few times on restaurants that we would not have normally gone to on our trip. So if you guys think that's low, that's including some deliberate
maybe some splurges. Of that hit your July budget, which is not included in this, as you've mentioned, but well, I don't June see any splurging. I don't see any splurging in June.
Splurged a lot at Starbucks in Colorado. So we went to Maine in July. I actually did not go once to kind of make up for that.
What is a splurge at Starbucks for you? Is that like you go in and ask for like hot water and then you take that out into the car and mix in your own instant coffee or?
No.
So we
actually do each get like a Starbucks, you know, fancy coffee drink that we usually would never get, but the kids get water with ice and they love it.
Yeah, our kids are super well trained. When we go to Starbucks, they ask for ice water as though it's a real treat.
They're excited by ice water in a Starbucks cup. You have really reached a level that like we've not been successful at. So I'm impressed.
That is impressive.
Okay, so what is there any area, because I don't know that there's much you could get better on, but is there any area that you'd like to call out or that you feel like you guys need to keep improving on here? Or are you just like, you're as lean as you can get?
Britt and I were talking about this earlier in preparation for the show. And we don't really think there is an area we can improve upon in any material way. I think there's always going to be a few, you know, like a restaurant bill was probably $15 more than we probably should have paid or really got value out of, or, you know, we went to Walmart to pick up something and came back with $10 more of just other stuff. But when you look at the total, it doesn't make any material difference. And so it's not something that we really need to change our behavior about.
Yes. It wouldn't make a significant difference, you know, if you spend $2 more or less here and there. Having said that, I am a big advocate of keeping our Costco membership because gas is so much cheaper there. And that is really, you know, at the beginning you look at, oh my God, that's just whatever, 10 cents a gallon, but it does add up. So there's definitely categories where it can make a difference. So you just kind of have to look at that and decide for yourself, you know, what makes sense, how far do I drive? How much do I drive, for example? And then change your behavior based on that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I know I don't think I get a say in your financial discussions, but when you guys say you were discussing it and you're feeling really good about it, I feel really good about yours too. Like, I don't think there's that much more you could cut out. So, I mean, Mike, I've said this to Mike from the beginning that I'm like, when he shows me his, I'm like, I don't know. It was kind of defeating at one point. I was like, I don't think I could ever get that low. Now, I don't want to get that low in fairness in some categories. I'm impressed that you guys can do it. But it's just not, it's not even that I don't want to go to get that low. I could get that low if I was like, my back was up against a wall, but I just don't need to at this point. And so to me, and you guys don't need to either. You have an incredibly high savings rate, right? This allows you to have such a high savings rate, but we'll kind of talk about it. There's certain things where I'm just like, at this point in my life, there's a few things that I just like, don't want to give up. I would say a few, as we'll discuss, there might be a lot.
I totally could do that, but you know, I just don't want to.
Well, when we discussed our expenses earlier, I think my point was to, you know, there is a quality of life. And obviously, you know, that is your personal decision what that will look like.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what is so helpful in comparing these is like, and having these discussions with other people is like, there doesn't have to be judgment. You know, there might be some friendly banter of like, oh, you know, you spend this much on whatever, I spend this much. There's a lot of learnings that comes from it. There's a lot of like, as long as everybody can be adults about it and walk away and be like, okay, cool. You know, you guys spend more on this, we spend more on that. You know, either way, like we're both being responsible with our money and we're making personal decisions about the money we have. Again, it's an exercise that doesn't it is just to help both parties, right? And everybody's going to be different. And I could go talk to five people that spend way more than we spend and look at what we spend and are like, I could never get it that low. Just like I look at you guys and I'm like, I don't know if I could ever get it that low. There's just some things that I don't know. I mean that in a complimentary way of like, I'm impressed. I wish I could be in many of those categories, like a little bit more disciplined on what I need. You guys challenge me to do better. I'll put it that way.
All right. So let's hear your numbers.
So let's jump in. Here is our number. What's funny is our total number for January to June is almost identical to yours, right? So ours is 32,147. What was yours again? 32. So we're like a little bit, technically ours is lower than yours.
You win.
Well, actually, I do think there was one travel expense or two that I missed in this because they were on a thing I had to manually put in Mint.
So what do you do? How is this helpful right now, Greg? Whose side are you on?
It's just important to be,
Greg, get out of here. Get out of here, Greg. You're no longer a part of this podcast.
Did you just remember the expenses, right, Greg?
Is that the cash?
Yeah, I just remembered that expense. That's good, Britta.
Is this the cash you asked me about the other day?
Let's call it a tie. Oh.
Okay, let's call it a tie, right? But what's interesting is they're very similar amounts, but we don't have any zero childcare this year, particularly because we were all working remote and there was nothing even open for the things that our kids went to, was like after school care and stuff. So we had zero childcare expenses. And so that $14,000 that you guys spent on childcare, I was joking to Mike. I was like, I don't know where it went, but it went into a lot of places that were not as responsible sounding as childcare. So here are our top categories. Our top one, like I said the other day on social media, is travel. So we spent $6,934 on travel. Now, keep in mind, we decided that was a whole week in Costa Rica that we did. That was 2 weeks in St. Thomas and a bunch of other smaller trips. We also decided in that to track, we track our credit card fees in there that are related to travel. Mike, you taught me that trick. But we had like $1,000 in Delta Reserve cards we signed up for that's in there. We track our food and our activities that are related to travel that we would not have otherwise done if we weren't traveling. We put them in travel so that we really have a good view of like what we spend while we're traveling. And so, but the bulk of that is airfare, car, stuff like that, hotels. Our second biggest category is groceries. So $3,609. I did one of your calcs, Mike, of that's an average of $600 a month, $601 a month, and $4 per day per person. That's a Mike calculation of, he likes to calculate how much it costs to feed everybody per day.
I would be interested if we calculate that on a, like almost a minute by minute basis. Would really help me kind of change my eating habits probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a per snack cost.
Per second.
Yeah, or even per calorie, actually. Maybe
per calorie. Yeah. All right. Well played, Greg. Well played.
Apparently we can get better in how we measure. Our next category, and this is why this is a helpful exercise when you think about even ranking this stuff, our next highest category is life insurance. I've actually broken out in different types of insurance. So that doesn't even include our homeowners insurance, but our life insurance, mine recently, I got to a much cheaper plan. And the bulk of this $2,024 over 6 months, it included an annual premium on Greg's, but most of that amount is Greg's life insurance. And so it's really high. First off, we both have to have life insurance. So if you ever get divorced, there's like clauses that like you have to carry a life insurance policy of a certain amount to cover, I don't know, all sorts of stuff. So we do have to have it, but there, we've talked a lot and I've got mine much cheaper in the past year and Greg needs to do the same. And he started some of the work to do that. But seeing this like reminds me of that. Don't you think like seeing that it's our literally our third highest expense category makes me think like, oh gosh, that like puts it in perspective.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I do have one kind of pre-existing condition, I guess, that does make mine a little more expensive, but I think I certainly,
you're a daredevil, right?
That's it. Yes, I
very risky.
He does like to skateboard, but they don't even know that.
Well, I skydive with my skateboard, so they don't like that. But I do think what I can do things like reducing the term of the policy. By the time my kids are 18, I don't need life insurance anymore with what we have in savings. And so, you know, that's something we could do to bring it down, to shorten the term of the life insurance and even the amount. Now that we have more in savings than we did when I first took out the policy, you know, the amount of the policy doesn't need to be, you know, the same amount. So there's little things we're kind of playing with to try to get that down.
And you downplay, just to, this is where it's helpful from a cost standpoint. When you say he has a pre-existing condition that makes his insurance much higher, it doubles the cost of his insurance versus mine. Everything else about us is pretty much the same. Men's health insurance tends to be a little bit higher, but when we both used to be with the exact same company, and his is twice the cost. And so some of that stuff really does have just a really, you know, uncontrollable thing. But like you said, there are some pieces around the edges. So we can get that number down, but we can't get it super down. Next one was home improvement at $1,964. $1,800 of this was that terrible plumbing situation we had, which I put a lot of videos.
Shitty situation.
It was a shitty situation. It was terrible. And we did not have a choice. We kind of got, I still, for like weeks afterwards, I still would get like mad about how much the plumber charged us given the amount of time and like what the issue was in the end. And I still was like having to like let it go and just be like, we don't have a choice. We have to pay him this money.
And home improvement, you know, you think of improvement, that almost sort of feels like it's something optional that you're doing to make, to like beautify your home. This was pretty not optional. I mean, unless we just wanted to never use that bathroom again.
Yeah. Well, any bathroom really. and we should, this is really like home maintenance. Our next highest one is our homeowner's insurance, which is $1,904. I don't know how y'all's is any cheaper, because I don't see your, like your whole, what do you have? Where's your insurance category?
I paid in the second half of the year.
Oh, that's why.
So some of this is timing.
Yeah, you're right. And so that's our annual premium. So we'll beat you second half of the year on homeowner's insurance. That's exciting.
but remember, I won't have any daycare expenses.
I know, you're
so
right.
I'm going to crush you guys.
This is
going to
go downhill second half of the year. Our utilities are quite low, I believe. So our utilities are the next category. They're $1,744. And that really only includes, we have, you know, pretty simple set of utilities. That includes our internet, our Georgia Power, so our power bill, our gas bill, our alarm, and our water and sewer.
Pretty good.
And then after that, you know, it's kind of like yours. It goes into like what I call a long tail of expenses. So after that, it's restaurants, which is $1,507, which I felt pretty good about till I see yours. And then we have like kids activities, which is like our pool fees for our like annual thing, like swim team fees. That was $1,262. And there's a lot of other kind of stuff in kids activities. But big chunks are like our annual neighborhood pool association and our like the kids did swim team. We put that in there. So the next one is clothing, which I know you want to give me a hard time about. That was, I feel like we actually, compared to what we once spent at different professional times in our career, this is higher than I'd like it to be, but not terrible. But actually now it looks low. Anyways, $1,117.
And for all of our listeners, let me give you a reminder that Maggie loves to say how she doesn't buy clothes or she doesn't spend money on clothes. And she's very minimalist and you should see her closet and like all these comments. And now you have $1,117 in clothing. And when I've asked you about this, you'd be like, no, well, I bought my kids' clothes. But at the very bottom of your list, I see a kids clothing
category, which is separate.
So are you in denial? Do you like have a clothes shopping problem?
No, not really.
I'm going to give you an easy out. Greg, do you want to fall on your sword and say this is all your clothing?
Well, that's just what I was asking. I was kind of trying to ask Maggie if we could break it down. And I don't think it is all. I mean, I think I'm part of it. I would be genuinely curious to know what the split is between us.
I can tell you the split right now, because without looking at, there is a tag where we can pull and mint whether it was like mine or his, but I'm reading the actual line items in our clothing budget. And for a minute, Mike, when I did some Columbia orders that we did together, I thought maybe I was like, nope. And I was like, nope, I included the amount you reimbursed. So that like, that was credited in this amount. No. So this is like some swim shirts that I bought in, we both bought, but it was a small amount when we were in St. Thomas. It saved our skin, so it was well worth the money. Like a t-shirt I bought. Actually, that one should have been for mine. That was a gift. Anyway, a couple of these are a little bit miscategorized. But one, like REI, we have like a $470 trip to REI. I don't even remember what we bought that day, but it was a mix of clothes between the two of us. We have a weak spot with REI.
We needed stuff for vacation.
So let me add, Maggie, are you going to... Are you going to stop saying that?
Do you just want me to retract my statement? I don't buy as many clothes as the average woman, is all I'm saying.
It's like you talk about it maybe every fifth episode.
Well, I don't think I buy as many clothes as the average woman is my only point.
Well,
you can't compare me to Britta. She's got like superpowers.
Look, we had, I mean, Mike, we had almost $60 in COVID masks in here. You know, I mean, if you take that out, that there wasn't a pandemic, we wouldn't have been at 400 and or 1,100. We would have only been at like 1,080. So that feels much more reasonable.
Exactly. Thanks, Greg. You got my back.
But Maggie, we're not the average woman. You know, we're on a fire journey. So
we are.
Yeah, we are. So
you're on a better fire journey than I'm on.
Yeah, you know, when we started talking about clothing, I actually kind of looked down and I was like, I'm wearing a shirt I got for free. I'm wearing shorts I got for free. So you need a better hookup.
It is kind of eye-opening, because when you think about coming out of, I mean, this last 6 months has definitely been a little more active than maybe the previous 12 months, but generally in a time where we don't leave our houses as much and, you know, kind of are able to exist in shirts and workout clothes, the fact that we're still spending this much on clothing is certainly, you know, something to reflect on.
In fairness, all of this clothing is workout clothes. It's not like, it's all like athleisure. You know, what's funny is I was kind of going through like what's in here and I'm like, quick comment on the clothing. That's funny that you'd find impressive. There's nothing you find impressive about this category for me, but one of the things I bought is I haven't bought a bathing suit in years, and like all my bathing suits are falling apart from like what chlorine does to them and stuff. And so I bought I was like buying a new bathing suit because I really needed one. But I only bought a bathing suit top. I had a bottom that was like navy blue and it was still in good shape. And it was like the top that was falling apart. So I thought you'd be impressed that I only bought the top. I didn't buy a new bottom. So part of this clothing is only half a bathing suit.
And how much was your top though?
Well, it was $63.
See, this is where the difference comes in, Maggie. There's when I buy a top and a bottom, it is $15.
Where? At Arena?
Yeah, you have to wait for the good sales.
Oh, okay.
Or look for them.
Well, this was through Somersault, and it actually didn't even work out that great.
So what is the purpose of this story, Maggie? This is not helping.
I thought you'd be proud of me that I only bought half a bathing suit. I was like, I don't even need the whole bathing suit. I'm just going to buy the half I need.
We'd be proud of you if it was $5. Yes,
the problem
you're
is
right.
It was a $63 top.
I guess it's the thought. Congratulations, Maggie.
I tried. It would have cost more than $63 had I paid for the bottom from the same company. It was going to cost me like $120.
Well, in that case, I'm very impressed with your clothing number. My point is that you constantly tell our listeners that you don't buy a lot of clothes, and here's the proof that you do.
I do. Well, this has been a rough emotional year, and I don't usually buy this many clothes. Actually, that's not true. This is probably like about normal.
Excuses.
There was a time in my career when I used to spend like thousands of dollars a year at Banana Republic buying crap I didn't need for like work clothes, and I quit that years ago, and I was very proud of that. I still have a problem with athleisure comfort clothes, and I have a problem with REI in general. The fact that there's only one REI order on here for 6 months is amazing, because that's my problem. I walk into REI and we walk out with a $470 bill.
I you know, hearing you say all this, you are the victim here. Understand this.
It's tough being us.
We're the victim of commercialization. You know?
Yes. I am sorry for picking on you. I feel terrible.
I know.
No, I think this is good though. This really does challenge us to, think a little more, carefully about our purchases.
I was just telling you that I feel like I don't need to buy any more clothes this year. So let's see where we're at on clothing. Second half of year. If we can even get
a good second half of the year challenge. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm feeling good about it. So then there's a lot of other categories. Any that you want to call me out on? Other than
I don't think so. This is these are impressive numbers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In all seriousness, this is very impressive.
Yeah, we feel pretty good about it. There was a time when we spent a lot more than this as a family in 6 months. And Mike, I will give you and Britta credit for like being able to see somebody else's numbers. Cause I remember when we first met, you like showed me your annual cost of living by category, just like you have here for your 6 months. And it was illuminating to start to see like, wait a minute, just there's certain things where I'm like, do I need this? Why am I spending money on this? Why am I doing that? So we've come a long way, and we're not quite, again, where you are, but we feel good.
Well, you know, one success story is, I mean, the cell phone clearly, but the other one is that I've not spent any money on hair care.
Oh yeah.
In like 2.5 years, you
That's
know?
That's awesome.
I mean,
I've been using Flobee.
Flobee and, you know, one bottle of WD-40 to kind of keep it, you know, running well. And that's my maintenance for it, you know.
Let's just clarify, Greg, the WD-40 is not for your hair. It's right. It's what the Flobee machine, it requires that you oil it frequently. I just thought people might want to know. No, we're not suggesting you use WD-40 as a hair product.
Thank you for, yeah, clarifying that.
Also, you notice I've only had one hair appointment all year. And I probably will not have another. I've been like basically like getting one haircut and color a year, and that's it.
I have gotten one haircut so far, but it was $20.
Well, I have to, I say have to, I get my hair highlighted, which costs more. And it usually costs way more than this. I went to this person that was like way cheaper. This is a topic that's going to go downhill fast. It was not good. I'm going to go back to the more expensive person soon.
All right. Before you get yourself in trouble again, maybe we should wrap up with our key takeaways.
Is one of our takeaways something about how much we're spending on clothing?
That's going to be takeaway 3B.
Okay. Our first takeaway is there's a ton of value in tracking and reviewing your expenses with your partner or with yourself if you don't have a partner, and maybe even your kids if they're old enough. I'd get to the point where I would have a similar discussion to review this with my kids and really have them understand kind of where things add up and what things look like when they're older.
And number two, there's also value in comparing your expenses with other families or friends, and it can create some interesting dialogue and some key learnings, as hopefully you guys are seeing in real time with this episode.
I tried to get Greg to read number three and he was like, So here we go. Number three, this is personal finance, like we've said a number of times. So I've mentioned, you know, it was so interesting that we spent similar levels in total, but on very different priorities and things. That's okay, right? If you have friends like we are, where we can kind of give each other friendly banter that challenges our norms and assumptions and just, you know, makes us think a little bit differently, that's great. But also, like, be confident in your own decisions and what makes sense for you and your family. And remember that this is personal. So you can have these discussions and still walk away and, you know, take accountability and ownership for whatever decisions you want to make.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. If you have thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
If you have any specific feedback about Greg or Britta joining the show, you can also send that via voicemail or text.
If you think that Greg and Britta were such great guests that they should just have their own podcast or just take over this podcast, we'd also love to hear that.
Yeah, we have a special number for that. We'll give it to you later.
All right. This was fun. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Britta.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. There were so many names said. I was like, whose name do I say next?
All right. See you later, guys.
Okay, right, bye. Bye. Night.
Bye.